Just 2 days ago, I offered those words from 37 to 39 at the eulogy for Leo's mother, because she was a woman who fully understood about the fact that nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, I can remember she became a Christian well before I did. She said to me, "You should do this." Like it was something to do. "You should do this. You should follow Jesus." She said, "It's this amazing thing, and you don't have to worry because he'll be with you always." She knew. She knew better than I. But this morning's lectionary has a whole lot of meat in it and not much roughage. And if we were to spend time with all this meat, we might be here till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Sometimes the lectionary is like that. It's like, well, I could preach on that verse and that verse. And Paul does that. Paul writes so thick and meaty that you want to spend deep time understanding his word. But remember this. This word is going out to a people in Rome who haven't met Paul, who haven't been part, who are just kind of the baby church. They're just learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul is coming into their community. So he's been sharing with them who he is, but he's also been sharing with them who God is and who Christ is. So this morning's lectionary reading begins with prayer. You know, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. And if you were here, I'd ask you to raise your hand if often you feel like you don't know how to pray or don't know what to pray. And can you imagine as someone who is in a new church that doesn't know many things about Jesus and about prayer and about the power of prayer, you would need to hear these comforting words, because these are the most comforting words we can have about prayer. Because even when we don't know the words or even don't know what to pray, because sometimes there's those situations that you don't know exactly what's the right prayer to pray for the person who's asked for prayer. And so sometimes no words are all you need, because God knows the intent of your heart. And this is what Paul tells us and tells the Romans, that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. Christ dwells within us. So when our spirit is groaning, the very spirit within us is groaning as well. But it's a spirit that is fully connected with God, so that when that spirit groans, God knows the need. So whether we can speak the need or not, God knows it. And as Paul told us later, and the one who sits on his right hand intercedes on our behalf. So never worry if you know what to pray or what not to pray. When I was just visiting with Union Chapel, and we have a time when they get to offer some words of their own, and he said, and one of the members said, "And God gave us a prayer when we don't know what to pray, because it's the Lord's prayer." So when your spirit's groaning, you don't know what words to use, rely on the Lord's prayer that we just used. And God will hear the needs of your heart better than you can even speak them. But then the part that struck me was, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." Ready for this? "In order that he might be the firstborn within a large family." And being firstborn in a large family, just think of that. We're part of that large family. And as I gathered with family on Friday over the loss of a mother, of a mother-in-law, of a sister, of a friend, of an aunt, those of us who are called brothers and sisters in Christ, we lost a sister. She was all those other things, but she was also our sister. And what a great thing to be part connected to that large of a family. I have brothers and sisters in Japan. I have brothers and sisters in the state of Washington. I have brothers and sisters in Alabama. I have some up in New England. They're all over the world. Some I haven't even met. Think about it. If someone has said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, they're in your family and you don't even know who they are. Just think of a family reunion then. Oh my. I don't think we could put enough food on the table. But that's the family of God. That's who we're connected to. So I want to talk about the thing we're going through as a family. I think we're facing separation anxiety, that we have been separated from one another for so long, that we're afraid, we get anxious, that maybe we'll never get back together again. We get anxious that maybe God has left us. We get anxious over the fact that pews are empty, or this hour that we normally filled with Sunday school, or this hour that we normally filled with whatever we normally filled it with that connected us to one another and to God will never happen again, that we have been abandoned and left behind. We haven't been abandoned and left behind. Paul's very clear about that this morning. I could reread the words to you if you need me to, but he says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. He says, will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. And if we're one family, then nothing separates us from one another. Yes, we're feeling the difficulties of not being able to hug each other. We're feeling the difficulties of not singing hymns we don't know that Carolyn picked out together. We have all the places where things used to be a particular way, and since they're not that way, we kind of feel lost and abandoned, but we're not. We don't need to be anxious for tomorrow, because God holds tomorrow in the promise of God's hand. And then he says these wonderful words, Paul does, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Now, when I think of a conqueror, I don't know about you, but, you know, somehow they have one of those Roman helmets with the big fluffy stuff on top and all that glittery armor and the big sword and, you know, they're conquerors. And they have muscles where on top of their muscles and, you know, massive calf muscles and arms that could crush you and hands that are, that's a conqueror. But to be more than a conqueror means that that which you needed, that kind of strength and armor and force that you thought you needed to conquer the world, you don't need. When we're more than conquerors in Christ, we realize there's nothing we have to battle in order to be in a relationship with God and one another. Because all we have to do is what God does, is to love. And the thing that we talked about at both 8 o'clock and 9:30 was the fact that sometimes the thing that separates us from God, what causes that anxiety, is ourselves. Because we have particular things we wanted God to do in the midst of that distress or that peril or that hardship. We wanted God to do this and God did that. Or God didn't do anything and we're thinking, where are you, God? You left me behind. So I'm separating. But the thing about God's love is that we can't even separate when we think we can. When we've turned and walked away, guess who's kind of shadowing us? God. And I always think about the parable of the prodigal son who left, right? Took his inheritance and left. Do you think his father stopped loving him? Do you think his father's love didn't follow him into the bars, into the wherever, the not G-rated places, and didn't even follow him into the pigsty? His father's love was still there. In fact, his father loved him so much. I always imagine him standing somewhere in the far distance from his home, looking down the path every day, expecting to see his son come back. Nothing we can do. We can't even turn from God for God to stop loving us. Nothing we can do. We do not need to be anxious that God will love us. So I want to end with that, those verses one more time. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can take those words into your heart and recognize that God will fulfill God's promise, and God's promise is for this world to be transformed by God's love, and God will finish whatever God has begun within us and within the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.